Log Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. I am your guest host from Brooklyn, New York, Jason Block, game show enthusiast, wrestling fan, and all-around good guy. Let's introduce the panel of nut jobs. We're here to talk about the news of the wrestling of the week. First of all, from Ohio, my cohort in crime, the best wrestling manager no one knows about, Ms. Nikki Haman.
Excuse me, even Edge knows that I'm a decent manager. In fact, we argued about it in Muncie.
Next, from near Albany, New York, where both the men and women's hockey team had a good night tonight, VRM.
Yeah, and this stupid hive tyrant just died. Damn you, stupid Tyranids!
And last, since there are only three people on here, he can't be fourth, but he is fourth.
Oh, I'm glad to say that I at least have two or three more friends than Bob Holly.
Ow. All right, shall we get to it? Because we have a lot to get to in this hour. First of all, we have some breaking news coming off of PW Insider this week, as of this afternoon. As you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin is the first inductee to be announced into WWE Hall of Fame. According to PWInsider.com, Ric Flair has come to terms with the WWE to both appear at WrestleMania 25 and to induct Mr. Austin into the Hall of Fame. Thoughts around the panel, starting with you, Nikki.
I'm kind of surprised that it's not JR that's going to be the one putting Austin in. JR was the one who got to witness most of Austin's antics through Raw and the launch of the Attitude Era, and never has a bad thing to say about the man. Maybe it's better that we do have a legend doing it. Aaron?
I haven't watched it because I've been too busy with hockey and now with Warhammer today, but yeah, I'm kind of wondering exactly why. Has Austin ever done anything with Flair in anything?
I think in WCW he did.
I mean, I don't know.
No. I know something.
Yeah.
There was an angle back in it was shortly after Invasion where the two of them were supposed to be mixed up in something. When the dust settled, I think Flair was supposed to work for Austin. And that was the day that Austin walked out on the first night for the first time.
Because he didn't like the way creative was handling his character, if I remember correctly.
Something about him fighting Lesnar out of nowhere and losing, which
yeah.
He didn't think was a cool idea and didn't like giving it away on TV. Hey, Steve, we've done this kind of shit before and we've done shit like that since. Just because you pick up your ball and go home doesn't make you any more special.
Okay. Well, we know your feelings about Mr. Austin. So, to the panel, what do you think Mr. Flair is going to do at WrestleMania? Anybody?
Yeah.
Somehow I get the feeling that he might get involved if they do Michaels versus JBL, maybe as a referee, or maybe in Michaels' corner.
You know what? That makes sense. That makes sense. So, but it is a very interesting piece of news. Now, speaking of which, let's go back to this past Monday night on Raw. Now, Raw had its best rating in a long time this week with a 3.9 overall.
Partly to do with their 20-minute overrun.
Well, hey. And also the fact that you also had a 4.0 in the second hour. The major events that happened in Raw this past week was, number one, we had Chris Jericho being reinstated, albeit
Yay.
albeit after, well, humiliating.
A lengthy humiliation.
Yes. Now, a lot of people said that Mr. Jericho was, quote-unquote, emasculated during, or his character was. Agree? Disagree?
Disagree.
You just thought it was fun karma.
I saw it as karmic revenge. I mean, he'd been dumping on the crowd ever since his formal heel turn, and now he has to turn around and apologize to everybody for being such a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, what goes around comes around, Mr. Jericho. And frankly, I miss you in the face, but it's something well deserved from the same notes that he's been hitting for the last 2 months.
They weren't doing kid-friendly, they weren't trying to go kid-friendly and everything, I'm betting that the on-your-knees chant that the crowd was giving were more directed toward Jericho getting on his knees and putting a nice wet one on Steph's ass.
Hold on.
That's true.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I thought that deserved one. Okay, well, we also had in that same cycle, which we'll get to that later, but we will have, I would say, the match of the week in wrestling overall. We had CM Punk winning the Intercontinental title in a fantastic stiff match with William Regal. Thoughts on that one, guys?
Did not see it.
That was my favorite match so far the month.
Yeah, mine too. Nikki?
I've still got to find it out on YouTube and haven't had a chance to download a torrent. I've been recovering from my 3-day road trip, so I really haven't had a chance to play too much on the internet.
Now,
I got to find
it. Is that your match of the month match or just your TV match in a month? Because there is that nice epic between Shelley and Saban that is definitely my match of the month candidate and winner.
Well, we haven't had the Royal Rumble yet, which we'll get to later on. We also had a very good contract signing promo between Cena, JBL, and Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels teased the fact that he was going to, you know, but we don't know if he's still turning heel, he's turning face, what he's doing. But, again, I love what Cena did. I love what JBL did. And I also love what Michaels did in this particular promo.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling that Michaels, like you could tell that he was basically trying to say to Cena, you're not making this any easier on me. You're not making the decision any easier to side with JBL. And to be honest, I loved everything about it. From the way Michaels just left the ring first, you can kind of tell the whole idea is that he doesn't like this, but he really has to do it. He has to play along.
Okay. And it was really good. I also liked the Rosa Mendez bit where Santino Morello hired her on as an intern. I thought that was very funny, comedy gold stuff.
My dear Beth, look what I have gotten for you. Your very own Nikki James Stalker.
Yes. And also, I also thought there was a really cool promo between Cody Rhodes and Dustin. That was great. Really well done. Really good stuff. But that was all overshadowed by the return of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And Vincent Kennedy McMahon helped Stephanie to reinstate Chris Jericho, albeit, as we said, by making Chris Jericho karmic revenge. And then Randy Orton comes out because he felt he was disrespected by Stephanie McMahon because, quote-unquote, she hit him for nothing, which was a total load of, well, stuff that you would see in Aurora's diaper. So then he was... Orton was getting in Vincent Kennedy McMahon's face. He got into a very nice promo talking about saying that his father was just a wrestler, and then he made him a star. And then Orton wouldn't apologize. And Vince Kennedy said, you're. And before that happened, Randy snapped, slapped him, kicked him, and then punted him into next week, where Stephanie was overacting and all that good
again.
Stuff. Yes, again, yeah.
No.
And Andy was like, what the hell did I do? So, ladies and gentlemen, where does Randy Orton end up come this Royal Rumble?
Honestly, I can see him intersecting with Jericho, because I'm kind of thinking at some point Jericho's going to try to get in their good graces by trying to eliminate him. But ultimately, I think he's going to win the Rumble. And really, I think it's just going to develop a little bit into a feud between himself and Stephanie on the way to WrestleMania to sort of give Cena some time to kind of close up stuff with JBL.
Nikki?
So he's going to enter the Rumble, but he's going to be number one.
I don't believe that.
No,
that's not
no.
true. No. Mr. Evil Dr. Levesque, I believe, is going to be number one.
Well, then Orton's going to be number two, then.
Well, let's see. Don't you think, you know, since Vince McMahon never goes away during the Rumble to Mania quarter, do you think that Randy's actually in cahoots with one of the McMahons?
Are you talking about the one that was not on the air?
He could be working for Shane. His whole thing with Steph might be somewhat staged, because this is the first time he's had any major static with Stephanie. You know, he's been so busy with Legacy, he really hasn't had a chance to get in her face. Oh, yeah, and banging all the other divas on the roster.
Okay.
So, I'm just trying to figure out where that would go. I don't, you know, I'm worried that Orton's going to win the Rumble. Now, a little piece of news told me that might not happen.
We'll get to that, because Rev Theory, the band that plays his theme voices, was supposed to be on the Monday Night Raw come on January 26th, but their appearance was suddenly canceled.
And I wonder what Orton did to get that canceled. Or maybe they finally figured out that they still don't know how to mic a band. I'm curious. Leave me a Raw with a mute where the band sounded halfway decent, and I'll tell you they were lip syncing.
Mm-hmm. Or you know, the people said, wait a minute, this could have been a giveaway. But we'll get to that. Anything that I missed on Raw, I don't think. I think I pretty much covered everything on Raw.
Yeah.
But now we go from the fakeness of wrestling to, well, the fakeness of wrestling. The Oscar nominations came out this Tuesday, and both Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei scored Oscar nominations for Best Actor and Supporting Actress, respectively, for The Wrestler. However, it was not nominated for Best Picture. It was not nominated for Best Song, nor was it nominated for its Best Director, Darren Aronofsky. Any thoughts to that? And also, why do you think the WWE is all of a sudden, as we saw on this Friday night SmackDown, starting to promote The Wrestler?
I have no idea. Why do we do that in the first place? I mean, to be honest, nothing against the movie, because obviously there are wrestlers like this, but it kind of goes against their image, the idea of the protagonist being someone that years of hard living, not saving his money, is kind of beat up and physically broken down. That really doesn't seem like the image they really want to go for at the moment.
This seems like he's done a 180, because didn't he originally condemn the movie?
Yeah, but
I mean, that's not the way the WWE is.
Right.
But I'm sure enough wrestlers went to him and said, hey, this is as close as you get to what the indie seems like. People need to know about this.
I mean, it does seem a bit hypocritical to me, because...
Go ahead.
Because I'm just saying to you that Vince McMahon does not believe that this is the movie, or this is the life of the WWE. But then why all of a sudden would he start to have wrestlers There's a video that just came out on WWE.com, as a matter of fact, today, with Lillian Garcia, Mark Henry, and Ric Flair commenting about the movie and praising the movie with clips in between.
And I think do you think Ric Flair might have finally gotten it through Vince's head that this is a very realistic portrayal of what's going on, even if it's not WWE? Remember, Rick, go ahead.
I don't know necessarily if it's that it, but I'm sorry if I'm stepping on you, because no disrespect intended.
Of course.
I just believe that maybe Fox threw them a bunch of money. Because that's the only reason why I think this happened. Nikki, what do you think?
Wait, I didn't get to see SmackDown. What do you mean by advertising? Because it was just an ad for the movie. I would imagine that because the network is owned by Fox, maybe...
No. Nikki, you saw that clip I was talking about, right?
Yeah, it was essentially a video package that showed, you know, it was part movie trailer, but also they interviewed Mickey Rourke, they interviewed the director, they talked about the movie, and it was spun in a very, very positive light of, you know, what, you know, of all the work they put into this movie. And not only did, now that I think about it, Jason, you realize that not only could Fox have thrown some money at Vince, when the news got to Vince that there are 2 Oscar nominations for a movie about a wrestler, hey, that's free publicity. Look at this.
Vince ain't no dummy.
No, well, in some things he is, but he's a marketing guy.
Yes, and he, in this particular case, understands where the dollar comes. If he can piggyback on the success of this movie, he's going to do it. And I think maybe he waited until there was an Oscar nomination before he did this.
And if he could do it, he'd try to get Mickey Rourke to put on the tights and run to the ring at the Rumble on Sunday.
Don't be surprised if he comes to WrestleMania.
I just wanted to see if he'd show up at the Rumble. If he does, I will slap my forehead. You'll hear me tumbling down the stairs when he runs down the ramp.
You know what, though? I honestly think that he still could do it. I think he remembers his training.
That'd be interesting. If he does it, great. If not, it's okay, too. But, wow. It blew my mind if he actually went out there.
Yeah, because Mickey Rourke is such a screwed-up individual, he'd do it.
And they wouldn't have to pay him much to do it.
No, he'd just do it for a beer and a soda, basically. A beer and a hot dog.
That's everybody else in the industry. I'm glad he's living up to his character.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's about it.
That's the God's honest truth, folks.
Oh, yeah. All right, so before we get into pickums, I want to talk a little TNA. TNA right now is in Europe as we speak. But what's really cool about this is I watched the video blog with Jeremy Borash this week, and they are playing the biggest show in the history of TNA this Saturday, where they are playing in front of 8,000 people in the UK. What do you guys think of the European success of TNA?
Well, this is actually, well, kind of surprising. I'm not trying to say they're doing poorly here, but they're not doing that well yet. I would probably say a little bit along the lines of early 90s WCW, where people know about it, but not enough people are going out. But if they are getting more and more people to go to the shows, then maybe something that Russo's doing, no matter how weird it is, would be working.
I think that, you know, I think it's great for TNA, because if you actually look at the numbers, you're saying 8,000 in the UK?
Yes, they're playing in front of 8,000 people come tomorrow night, I believe.
Then they're playing about the same kind of average as the WWE. The WWE can pack 2 or 3 times their regular numbers when they go to Europe or Asia.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to make a joke at the fact that they were doing that TNA was doing 10 times their house show revenue, but I'm not going to be that mean.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that they have drawn as little as 500 at some of their house shows, this is actually a good thing. And as was said there, people know about it, but don't know enough. And some are definitely going to go out and say, "Hey, what's going on with this?" Because most of I'm guessing how much does the UK get of TNA? I guess would be the better question.
Okay.
Televised.
Yes. Oh, and just by the way, you notice also this week, just to switch a little something up, because, again, I'm going back to a couple of sites here, that Randy Orton is doing a ton of press right now this week in advance of the Royal Rumble. Why are they only sending him out? As a matter of fact, he just got interviewed on ESPN.com.
Whoa.
Surprising.
In the video game, yes.
It would fly more to the go-to guy of Cena. Maybe they're trying to produce more of a group of wrestlers to be the guy for the company, a public face of the company. So that is probably a good idea to try to make more faces for the company, not like good guy, bad guy, but public relations.
Yeah, because Evil Doc can't do it forever.
Doc is about to turn 40.
and there are other... Their other big public face, Batista, still laid up with a bad leg. I give him a 50-50 shot at being at the Arnold this year.
Well, I think that TNA is doing very well. And I want them to succeed. like the new president, I want him to succeed. I want TNA to succeed. I don't want them to fail. Anyway, on that note, we have a wonderful pay-per-view coming up this Sunday, which is actually one of my favorite pay-per-views, called the Royal Rumble. And with every pay-per-view, we have the World Fizzleweight Championship. Our champion, Typho. Typho has the belt, correct?
I believe so.
Okay, Typho has the belt. Well, he better get his picks in on Sunday, or we might have a new champion. We have 5 matches, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, and in the Royal Rumble match, we are going to have a 3-point extravaganza in this particular one, which I will get to in a minute. So, Nikki, if you would fire up your note-taking apparatus.
I'm on it.
Okay. We are going to get into the pick'ems for the 2009 Royal Rumble match, taking place this Sunday on pay-per-view from the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan, which I believe Ms. Nikki Haymon will be in attendance live, if I'm correct.
I will be there. I will have my bodyguard in tow. Referee Brandon Toll will be somewhere in the building as well.
Okay.
Hopefully close enough to have somebody dropped on him.
Okay. So we are going to go into the 5 matches that we have. And let's start with the women's champion, Beth Phoenix, defending her title against Melina. This storyline has a very interesting thing because, of course, Rosa Mendez has now been attacking Melina over the last few weeks and also been involved with Beth Phoenix as now his intern. So we start with VRM. Who wins this one?
I'm going to go on this one with Beth, mostly because of crazy rehash of Mickey Trish 2005 or 6, was it?
It was 2000. Yeah, okay.
6?
2006, because it was in WrestleMania 22.
Yeah, so this is going to be a crazy rehash of that and with crazy stalker fan. So, yeah, Beth.
Fourth?
I'm going to say an upset's going to happen. I'm going to say Melina's going to win this one. Honestly, I don't really think that Rosa's going to get involved, surprisingly.
Ooh, interesting. Nikki Haymon.
Melina by DQ. I think Rosa's going to be a little too eager. Beth's going to keep the belt. But I take Melina by DQ because if it's anything the way Nikki was, I think she's going to screw everything up to start and continue to escalate the friction.
Great minds think alike. It's going to be Beth Phoenix keeping the belt, but Melina takes it by DQ. Yeah, she's going to go absolutely nuts. This is going to be a very short match because we have the Royal Rumble match to deal with. Do you have everything on that one? Nikki?
Pardon?
Did you write everything down? I'm just asking.
Yeah, I'm got it all down. I'm doing
okay.
It on my laptop, so.
Okay. Next, we have the ECW, the new ECW champion, Jack Swagger, in a rematch versus Matt Hardy. Jack Swagger won the belt, I believe, 2 weeks ago on ECW TV. Matt Hardy gets his rematch. Does Matt Hardy get the belt, Nikki?
No. I think that Matt had a wonderful run with the ECW title. I really did enjoy his work, but we need a heel to keep carrying a belt all the way to WrestleMania. Matt doesn't get it this time.
VRM.
Yeah, you got to get a heel with a belt at WrestleMania. You're not going to have all three belts on face. You're going to have at least one title change hands. It's going to be Jack Swagger.
Fourth.
I think this is going to be the night that the All-American retains the championship. I think he'll definitely have it until maybe WrestleMania at the latest. So I'll just go with Swagger as well.
This is going to be a unique Swagger for me. I think Swagger needs to be the dominant heel champion. He got his smack on with Matt Hardy in a no disqualification match with Edge. Which is very cool. I think he needs to be a dominant heel, so it's going to be Jack Swagger. So we have a sweep. Next, we have one of the two main events, one of three main events, technically speaking, World Heavyweight Champion John Cena versus JBL with Shawn Michaels in his corner. Shawn Michaels is in storyline. Shawn is JBL's now new employee because of the stock market collapse. So, does JBL win over and take the belt in WrestleMania, or does John Cena retain? Nikki?
You would have to come to me first. I am so torn on this match. You know what?
If you are torn, I'm going to go to VRM.
Please do.
VRM.
I'm going to go Cena by way of momentum. That is how I based my pick. Cena by way of momentum.
Okay, explain what you mean by that.
JBL has momentum coming off of Raw.
Okay. Oh, I see. So the last guy who did good, you reverse it. I see what you're saying. All right. Fourth.
I think that Cena's going to win when Michaels accidentally costs JBL the match. And JBL
quote, unquote, accidentally.
Quote, unquote. But either way, I think JBL will start verbally assaulting Michaels all the way to the back. Basically saying, oh, that was my investment and all that. But whether it's an accident or not, doesn't matter if Michael's going to cost in the match.
Back to you, Nikki.
Because this is where I'm torn. If, you could keep the storyline going either way. JBL wins the belt but doesn't release Michaels. Or Michaels does something to screw everything up. But I know better. Don't bet against Cena. Cena's going to retain, even if it's by DQ.
I am actually going to go against the odds. I'm going to pick JBL winning the belt with Shawn Michaels' help. However, JBL will lose it in the Elimination Chamber next month. That's my theory. I'm going against the odds here. I'm going to do it. JBL. Write it down.
Okay.
Next, the most intriguing championship match, in my personal opinion. WWE champion Jeff Hardy, the victim of a series of quote-unquote mishaps, including pyrotechnics that have gone awry, a car accident, versus the ultimate opportunist Edge, who seems to not know what's going on. VRM, does he know what's going on, as does Jeff Hardy hold the belt one more month?
Edge is going to win. And Edge does not know what's going on. As far as he's concerned, his eyes are closed. If you get that, then...
No, I don't.
I don't,
specifically.
That.
What was a certain someone's last music before he left for another company?
You'll see if you just close your eyes.
Okay.
He's referring to Christian.
All right.
The fact that he believes that Christian's doing all this for Edge.
Okay. Now, all right, fourth.
I think Edge will win when whoever is causing these mishaps will strike again at the Rumble. Whether it's Christian Cage, Christian Bale, or Bale of Hay, we won't find out that night.
Okay.
We'll just, the accidents will continue, and Edge will capitalize, living up to the ultimate opportunist nickname.
Nikki.
I'm going to go against the grain. I will agree that somebody's going to try something on Jeff at the Rumble. But this whole thing's got a slight Rey Mysterio vibe to me, and Jeff's going to continue playing underdog screw up and continue to frustrate Edge. I'm going to say Jeff retains.
I'm going to agree with you. Jeff retains, and the person with the accident is not going to debut there.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion. But Jeff Hardy is going to win this, and he's going to keep the belt. But it's going to be fun to watch. Now, we have the 30-man Royal Rumble match. As you know, this is one of my favorite matches of the year. You have two people starting, 90 seconds, people come in. After the 30th person, the last person in the ring wins the Royal Rumble and gets an automatic title shot at WrestleMania. Now, this is how I am going to work this. And Nikki, this is the 3 points. Number one,
okay.
Who is number 30? Number two, who wins? And the last, and actually I'm going to give you 4 points for this one because this is going to be an interesting one. Number three, I want you to give me your final four. Okay. And actually, no, I'm sorry. This is going to be a very interesting one. I'm going to give you a possible 7 points out of this one. Because what I want you to do is I want you to predict.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be the seven. This is going to be the one. I'll explain to you why. I want you to predict the final four. For every person you get right. I'm flipping on the fly here. There will be a maximum of 5 points. Okay.
Okay.
Because for each person you predict, you will get a half point instead of one. That's fairer, correct?
Okay.
Okay. So for each person in the final four, you get a half. Whoever is number 30, you get a point. Who wins, you get a point. And on the fifth point, I want you to give me a total whack-ass surprise prediction. Like if you remember 1 year, Drew Carey went into the Royal Rumble. If you remember 1 year, like somebody who you think is going to either appear in the match, somebody who hasn't been announced, something to that effect. You guys got all that?
Yep.
If I've got this written down right, number 30, winner, the final four, and one surprise.
That's pretty much it. So, VRM, let's start with you.
Okay, Final Four. It's not going to be Kozlov. I'm going to go Orton, Jericho, Punk, Dr. Paul as my as Final Four.
Dr. Evil, okay. the Evil Ovech, okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 30. Ray at number 30.
Okay.
He's not going to win though. Winner. Orton wins from number 2.
Orton wins. Wow. Okay. And any whack ass surprise?
Whack ass surprise. Charlie Flair.
Oh.
I'm digging it. I'm digging it. That's a win.
Yes. That's good. That's good. Okay, fourth.
All right, I'm going to say the Final Four, the same as VRM, Punk, Orton, Jericho, and Paul Hunter. Number 30 will be, I will say, CM Punk. I think Orton will win from, I'll say, number 7.
Or you don't necessarily have to make, you know, where Orton comes out from, but that's okay. If you want to, put it to you this way, if you get where Orton comes out from, you'll get a bonus for that.
Great.
All right.
Thank you. But I think the surprise will be Charlie Haas, but I think he'll do the same thing Tommy Dreamer did a few Halloweens ago and dress as Paul Heyman.
Oh, God! I know someone who would have a MO over that one, but...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, excuse me. All right. Ms. Nikki Hammond.
All right. Let's see. My Final Four are going to be Orton, Jericho, Undertaker.
Uh-huh.
And Kozlov.
Uh-huh.
Kozlov's coming in at 30. Orton wins coming in at 12.
Okay.
And what would be my surprise? In a wonderful twist, Undertaker's music plays, but it's Charlie first. He only gets halfway down the ramp, and the lights go out, and when he comes back up, he's unconscious, and the real Undertaker's standing there.
That's good. That's good. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. My Final Four is going to be Orton. Orton, Jericho, Kane.
Okay.
And Orton, Jericho, Kane, and Kofi Kingston.
Okay.
To give him a little bit of a rub. I do agree that number 30 will be somebody who really doesn't have either strength or thing, and I'm going to put Undertaker at 30 yet again. Okay?
Okay.
The winner will be Randy Orton, unfortunately. However,
okay.
My surprise is going against the grain. I think it will be the return of Evan Bourne in the Royal Rumble to help his buddy Rey Mysterio out when Mike Knox is kicking his ass. Remember, he should be good to go right about now. Thereabouts.
Actually, I could influence your decision, Jason.
All right.
PW Headlines reported that Evan's not going to be ready until mid-late February.
All right, then I might switch. Then I will say that we will see.
What's Charlie going to do?
Okay, fine. Charlie's going to come out as The Rock.
Charlie's going to piss a lot of people off.
Yes, he will.
Oh, wow, yeah, well.
Yes, he will, but you know what? I'm going to say it. Charlie as The Rock. Or, and also, I think Charlie will do multiple spots this time around. I really do. I think he's going to do a couple of multiple spots, like Mick Foley did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So, Nikki, you have the picks sealed in the hermetically sealed envelope next to the Funkin' Waggles.
Yes, I was going to stick it in the Funkin' Waggles, but I'm glad you didn't tell me to.
That's very good. Good. So, and we will review that next week on our special two-hour show where we will be doing Around the Horn and our Royal Rumble recap edition of the show, and we'll find out what's going on. Now, we have about 20 minutes left, actually about 18 minutes. I want to go into a little bit of the internet first, because we had a couple of, shall we say, blog response callbacks this week. One of them was from Eric Bischoff, and one was from one Mr. Matt Hardy. Let me read to you a quote that Eric Bischoff said about Matt Hardy. Quote, "Matt, you are a friggin' goof. Your recent recap of your lifestyle frames you as a candidate to the Jake Roberts Hall of Fame. Your suggestion that you and your generation are smarter and more responsible than previous generations of wrestlers make me sick. You are a mid-card talent that should be grateful to even get a check every other week. Enjoy it while it lasts, and rather than looking down on your nose at previous generations of professional wrestlers, donate a portion of your check to one of them and ask them to point out all the parallels between your current career path and others," unquote. And theirs, excuse me, unquote. And first of all, I have one thing to say about that.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, Matt, in his most recent MySpace blog on Wednesday, responded to all of that. I'm just going to give you a little bit of some of his response, okay? One, quote, "You are a mid-card talent that should be grateful to even get a check every other week. Enjoy it while it lasts," unquote. He goes, ha, 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 ew, Scott the whole finger thing. Mid-card, grateful to even get a check. Wow, that's upsetting. "I'm going on 11 years with the WWE in my 1099s, which I just looked at for 2008. Certainly don't have a number on them that implies I'm lucky to be getting a paycheck. And just for the record, for the last 11 months, I've consistently been at nearly all television tapings more than any other talent has. Enough of just in mind myself, though, I feel in good company. If I'm not mistaken, that's the same sentiment you had about Steve Austin, and he turned out okay. Maybe there's a small ray of hope for me yet." Unquote. And rather looking down on your nose at previous generations of professional wrestlers, and then he responds, "I don't look down my nose at anyone, no one from any walk of life. I don't even see how you could take my comments out of context that far to even suggest that. I'm especially grateful to the previous generations who kept the business alive so I could lead the life I do today. Anyone who knows me well personally knows that. I've busted my ass for a long time with a master plan of positioning myself into a certain situation. A situation that I'm responsible for where I'm happy, secure, and free to dictate my daily activities. On my own, I've more or less gotten to that point. I've never asked for any donations, so I don't feel responsible to give out any. And call me crazy, but I think my current career path, lifestyle, is going to be just fine," unquote. So, to the panel, thoughts on Mr. Bischoff's rant and Mr. Hardy's response to it.
First of all, Matt Hardy deserves a win from the NAWC panel for thumbing his nose at Mr. Bischoff.
Let me get there, please. Done.
It surprises me that Bischoff is that critical and that bitter about somebody who's been so successful despite a little bit of adversity along the lines. After all, wasn't it the internet that got Matt Hardy fired in the first place? Hardy seemed to turn out all right.
Yeah, he's all right. And he also said, I just want to talk about the fact that his recent recap of his lifestyle. He goes, he said, I could have retired already dating back to 2005. I say that's pretty responsible for someone who just turned 34. I'm not a drug guy either. I've never been in trouble. I've never had to battle demons, and the wellness program loves me. For the record, when I was out all night at Shane's home place, it was a New Year's Eve party. The majority of America stays up late that night, and goes on from there. So, yes. Okay. I mean, go on. I'm sorry, Nikki. I just had to get that in there, too.
No, you're fine. Essentially, I just don't understand why Eric Bischoff is being that bitter about somebody who has done so well, has kept his nose clean, or does Eric even know the difference between Matt and Jeff anymore?
I don't know, but I think it was an absolute, well, stupid thing to say. Bischoff, with all due respect, made a crappy reality show, which Mr. Seidelman unfortunately had to review. But, and of course I didn't watch because we had the biggest fake of all, Hulk Hogan, residing in it, because, and basically the biggest hypocrite of them all.
They couldn't even get me to watch it with Zen Meister on.
Yes. The Zen Meister.
And, oh, by the way, Vince McMahon condemned the show as a whole.
Yeah.
For exposing the business.
But, oh, okay, this is a hypocrite because he put it on Tough Enough. But that's beside the point. That's another show.
That's a little different, though.
It's the same thing. It's the same
exact. No, because he was actually trying to make wrestlers. All Eric Bischoff was saying was, hey, look, I can get a bunch of Z-grade TV stars come in here and pretend to throw themselves around.
That is true. That is also true.
The first three Tough Enoughs were actually legit. It was when they got the Tough Enough on SmackDown with Pewter that it looked a little squirrely.
With Pewter and Miz and Justice Smith and Dan Rodheimer and Silverback Reeves, who, by the way, is back in developmental.
Yeah, they were all. It sort of felt, that one sort of felt staged to a point.
Yeah.
The first one, they were really trying.
They really wanted
something to happen.
The first one was awesome, and Triple H's speech was just fantastic. You know, you either love this or you don't. You know.
Jobbing.
What?
Jobbing.
No.
No.
He did something very important. He went to each and every one of them and said, "If you couldn't do this, what would you do?" And every one of them gave him the answer he didn't want to hear. They all came up with alternatives. And he said, you don't love this business enough. You should be saying, I don't know what else I would do. This is the only thing I ever wanted to do. Then he would believe in your dedication to the business.
And one of them quit because of it, if you remember correctly.
Yep.
In that episode.
I believe so.
Yeah, and the guy by the name of Hawk, I think. Again, and someone will correct us anyway. So you have also another blog entry, if I may. Go ahead, Nikki.
Yeah, give me a second. I'm gonna have to load it up. Daivari posted a blog on his website, and I'm not gonna go over there. I'm just gonna go get the paraphrase from PW Headlines. So if you guys will give me just a second. Because my computer decides to behave itself.
Mm. So PW Headlines, you said?
PWHeadlines.com, which essentially is a free site that rips off from everybody else.
Oh, joy.
Since I don't spend any money. I don't spend money on wrestling stuff.
Got it.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
No.
He essentially, Daivari was talking about steroids and human growth hormone, and the fact that they do have medical applications, even though some of them are outright illegal. He compares steroids to cocaine and LSD, saying steroids have medical properties that are beneficial to a person, so a doctor can prescribe them, whereas a doctor can't prescribe cocaine or LSD because they have no proven medical value. He talked about Vioxx and how that was getting, you know, that actually killed people and it was taken off the market. Let's see. I think people are uneducated as to what anabolic steroids actually are. Anabolic steroids are synthetic hormones. Birth control is a steroid. Some antidepressants are steroids. More often than not, again, in the cases of use and not abuse, they have medical properties that are beneficial to the person prescribed the drug. Essentially, he's defending the fact that some of these guys might be getting busted on drug tests for stuff that they've actually got the paperwork for, such as the baseball player who got busted a couple of months ago for something that he was told he was allowed to take, and then they changed their minds, and he got in trouble. He's like, but you said, they said you're suspended, but you said. I couldn't tell you the player's name. I just caught the tail end of it on a report while I was on the road. Let's see.
So basically what Daivari is saying, that steroids aren't dangerous.
He's saying that he's pretty much saying that the benefits outweigh the liabilities, especially if you quote-unquote take them correctly. He also takes a moment to take a dig at Senator Waxman and the steroid interviews that were released a couple of weeks ago.
What does he say?
So all of those crazy percentages that they like to that Mr. Waxman likes to present to Congress, does he take into consideration the number of positive wrestlers that have had reconstructive surgery in the last year and a half of testing? The number of legally in the USA under the guidelines of the FDA prescribed synthetic hormones by medical doctors? No, he doesn't. Because as I said earlier, he's on a witch hunt. Am I saying everyone is innocent and is using drugs within the guidelines and FDA approval? No. We know that's typically not the case. But is there any way to believe that 70% of the locker room are drug abusing addicts? I think not.
So what are your thoughts on Mr. Daivari?
I'm kind of on the fence because he does have a point. There are some steroids that can be that are bought in with a prescription. But are these cross referenced with the wellness policy list? I would think they would be, especially if your doctor is legit, not like that idiot in Atlanta. Dr. Aston, who I hold tangentially responsible for what happened to Benoit.
And I believe he also pled guilty this week, correct?
Is he back in court? Because I know they took away his medical license, so he's been mowing lawns.
I'm just pulling up some news here, so just give me a moment. So VRM Fourth, what do you think about this?
Well, I am kind of on the fence because I can understand what he's trying to say, that it could be that some people go a little overboard with it, but the problem is, I guess in some cases, if you give somebody a window to do a little bit more than they should, they'll do that, and then they'll keep progressing more and more in some cases.
Yeah, and of course, Paulie Normus just passed away this week as well. You know,
are they doing an autopsy? Are they going to find out what he, you know?
I don't know.
What did they say it was, and are they doing an autopsy, I guess is the question.
According on January 17th, Dr. Phil Aston may have had a deal with federal prosecutors.
Okay.
So I am just checking that as well. VRM, what do you think?
I'm flaking. I have no idea what.
If it helps here, and he does mention a few specifically stuff that I've heard about when they were doing some of the wellness violations were published, where they talk about human growth hormone, which is used in rehab, nandrolone, decanate, which I've heard of, and I've actually heard a couple of people get busted for, so maybe they just didn't have a prescription. Nandrolone causes the body to go into a positive nitrogen balance, which allows the body to assimilate more protein, which
right.
is building blocks for damaged tissue and helps guys build muscle. So I can see the attraction there.
Right, exactly. By the way, we've got about 4 minutes left here before we were off the air here. So, again, by the way, his plea hearing is set, Dr. Aston's hearing is set for January 29th.
Okay.
Sorry. And, I believe, I'm on the fence, and I agree with you on that, but, you know, you don't want to get that big. You just don't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You really just don't want to get that big. There have been legit links to steroid abuse and deaths. Lyle Alzada was one. You know, Chris Benoit, you could prove it, you know? There's a difference between use and abuse, though, too. I will give you that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
side with Tavari on that, but, you know, it's also the same argument I almost want to blow up on RVD about. You know, I don't care what kind of paperwork you've got. It's still illegal and probably bad for you. And until it's made legal or it has been proven otherwise, why are you even touching it?
Pretty much. Wow. I mean, this is a big week. I mean, this is when the road to WrestleMania starts. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff, and we will talk about it, of course, next week. With Around the Horn, we will talk about who wins, where we go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyone think that the McMahons are going to be the center of attention for the next 3 months on Raw?
Of course they are.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I just want to know what celebrity they're going to pick out, and is Big Show going to have to job to him again?
I mean, I don't deny it for, you know, I think, I agree with you. I think it's going to be Mickey Rourke. I mean, that would be amazing, but I, you know what? I really think that might be the possibility of that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It's going to be good. So, we do have about a minute left. So, what I want to do, again, is thank my guests and our guest, which is, first of all, I want to thank Mr. Robert Seidelman for allowing me to take reins of this engine for a week. Next week, Nikki and I will be co-hosting a two-hour Royal Rumble extravaganza and an Around the Horn special, and pretty much that's about it. Trying to think of, is there anything else we missed? Anybody, anything?
After we're done with Around the Horn, I'll be happy to run around and open the door to Room 101. If anybody's interested in throwing stuff in.
Okay. Well, yes. You know what? I think we might want to get into an edition of Room 101. So think about that for next week. We've got about 45 seconds left. So, VRM, any quick shout-outs?
Nothing here.
Fourth?
Nothing here.
Nikki, you got anything to promote?
Brandon, good luck up at Jersey All-Pro, and wish me luck, guys. I'm meeting Ric Flair tomorrow.
Woo!
That's right.
Yes. So, all right. So, for the North American Wrestling Connection and for Robert Seidelman, this is Jason Block from Brooklyn, New York. And my name, and that's about it. For VRM, for Fourth, this is Nikki Heyman. This is Jason Block saying good night, America and the world.
Good night,
folks.
Night.
Night. See you guys.
See ya.